Hello, everyone. Welcome to WD Carousel, a podcast. My name's Ian.
And I'm Crystal.
And we're going to dive back into our Discovering Animal Kingdom series.
Yes.
This time we're diving into Africa, which is kind of it's got a lot of some of the heavy hitters in it. I mean, there's
yes.
obviously Asia and a couple other ones do too, but the oldest, like the ones that everyone associates with Animal Kingdom, are a lot of them are located right in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, let's go ahead and we actually have background on this one.
Just a little bit. It's not as extensive of a background as Dinoland was.
Dinoland, that was a trip.
That was
an adventure.
Dinoland, the only thing we had was background.
Background, it's true. So true. Nothing's going on over there. That was so funny. All right. So yeah. So why don't we just dive right in and talk about some of the background and stuff they've got going with it.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So the idea with Africa is they were basing it off of one specific village, which is kind of cool. So I think that Africa's neat because I think Asia was kind of a little bit more like pan-Asian, like they kind of went all over the place and kind of amalgamated something together. Africa was actually, they created like one fictional village called Harambe, which is spelled differently than the gorilla. So let's just get that over with now. And they had it based off of an East African port village. So that's
an
kind
East
of
African
how they wanted
port village that was
yes.
originally settled by the Dutch.
Yes.
And
yes.
then gained its independence peacefully.
Somehow.
Because this is
some Disney magic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So they basically created this whole kind of village that was also the namesake for their like wildlife preserve that's like there. So that's kind of like the whole backstory is you're like a tourist in an East African port city with a big natural kind of game reserve or
and
animal reserve.
Harambe actually is Swahili for come together.
Hey.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Not that I speak Swahili.
No, but you're good at research.
I am.
So.
And then you had actually mentioned in I believe our last Discovering episode, the Asia one, about the roofs in this
right.
area.
Yep they were in fact they actually brought people in from Zululand in South Africa and had them come in and thatch all of the roofs there. So it's got a very you can tell it just feels like it's not like some rando just kind of came in like, this is what a thatched roof should probably look like, right? Like it
yes.
feels very, very realistic.
It's not gentrified thatched roofing.
Gentrified thatching. Yeah, exactly.
Which would have been made with like hemp and it would have been all organically sourced. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, organically sourced and has CBD oil in it. Yeah, got it.
So let's do the walkthrough. Do you want to do the walkthrough?
Oh, sure. Let's do the walkthrough. All right.
Okay.
So we're coming from Discover Island, which is, you know, where we start everything.
And this is exactly where one of my scooters broke right before
nice.
I could get over the bridge.
Wonderful. Yeah.
So, not that that makes sense to anybody else but me,
but
prime
hey,
location.
You know, people will know where it happened. So you go, you cross over course the Discovery River from Discovery Island, and you go you land in Africa from right there. Right ahead of you, there is a Tusker House, and there was something else to the right of me that I forgot to write down. I don't remember what it was. I think it might have been the, we'll skip that for now because I think I remember what it is, but I'll have to get back to it.
It's okay.
And then as you take a left,
I know that there is a rum place on the right hand side, but right now we're talking about the left hand side.
The left hand side.
So Tusker House is right there. I have the map up,
yes.
so I'm pointing.
Oh, good.
I'm Vanna Whiting.
You're Vanna Whiting. Awesome. So then you take a left on the path right as you cross over the bridge, and that takes you to the Festival of the Lion King. That's all that's over there, really.
Yep.
That little area. And then the path does continue, and that will take you to Pandora Land of Avatar, but that
that's this
separate.
Direction.
Yeah. And that's actually like a fairly significant walk compared to like the rest of them. Like, yeah. It's actually like a little hike across. It's a nice shortcut. Like, you can kind of get around some of the crowd sometimes because you can kind of bounce back and forth instead of having to like go through that crazy land right through, you know, the main Discover Island into Pandora. So it's kind of neat. But yeah, I remember I've done it a couple times and I've been like, whoa, this is a lot. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so then if we turn around, instead of going to Pandora, we go back to where we started and then keep going on to the right, we end up at the Tamu Tamu refreshments, which again, will be on the left alcohol side area. Of the path. Alcohol area, classic. and then if you keep going straight ahead, you would go to Asia. But instead, we'll take a left, and we will go you will see Harambe Market on the right and Zuri Sweet Shop on the left. And you can also find the Gorilla Falls Exploration Trail and Rafiki's Planet Watch will be kind of like in that area as well. The Wildlife Express train for the Rafiki's Planet Watch is what it's like, this old looking railway, and it'll take you out of the park. I will probably jump into more of this later, but basically, okay, so this is kind of my logic here. Rafiki's Planet Watch is technically kind of its own little land, so we'll just kind of talk about that real quick while we're here.
Okay. Sounds good.
So what we'll do is what you do is you jump on the thing, you'll take the train.
Okay, let's be specific here. Okay, so the Wildlife Express is a steam-powered train.
Yes.
Which Disney, Walt, loved trains. He was obsessed with trains. He had a number of model trains. So I love that they brought that touch back to this land. Outside of Magic Kingdom, no other, well, unless you want to count Mickey's Runaway Railway, has an actual railroad. And so it's a nice feature to add. And it's the only one on Disney World property that is wheelchair accessible and has listening devices for ADA. So is meant to allow anybody to be able to board and go experience Rafiki's Planet Watch. It's nice to be able to have inclusion there.
Right.
And then up in Rafiki's Planet Watch, there's a lot more unique sort of, like, that's where you can actually watch the veterinarians and the animal doctors, which are slightly different than veterinarians, but moving on. have procedures, a lot more education. Some of my favorite things that I found out that they had done up there were things like they successfully performed surgery on a tarantula.
Yeah, nice.
They like gave you do. A fish an artificial eye. And then they removed a golf ball from a snake that was on property too. They just decided to be like,
"Oh man, let's see what happens." That's funny. Yeah, also, it's a neat concept.
The Disney scientists also from there have discovered two new vocalizations that have never before been reported in about elephants. So elephants have made some more squeaky noises than we were used to before. But these are this is the actual sort of sciencey area of the park, where you can, you know, see real scientists in action.
Working. Yeah, they actually, it's a big enough area that they can kind of observe the animals doing stuff. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. It's a good place. And I think they also have like a sketch place up there now too that you can
There's like an animation
draw like an animator and that sort of thing.
Yeah. 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 And then there's the Affection Station.
Whoop, going back to the map. Hold on. Merp.
I'm ready.
We got the map up.
Which is sweet. Which is also up at Rafiki's Planet Watch, which is it's basically like a petting zoo. So here's the thing. I have been meaning to go to Rafiki's Planet Watch for about 7 years, and every time I go, I keep not getting there. So it's on my list. It's like one of the places I just like haven't been. But the Affection Station is kind of like a petting zoo, but more interesting. So the stuff they've got is more interesting than just your standard petting zoo fare. And on top of that, there are people on site who are, you know, naturalists and scientists who are available to be giving you information about these different animals that you're interacting with, which is interesting. I'm sure it's probably somebody would be not super happy with the interactive aspect of it, but I think that it's interesting for sure. Mm-hmm.
I agree.
So that's the affection station. And then we'll take the train back. We'll follow the path. So we'll get back on the path in Africa, and we'll take the path to the left, which will take us past the Harambe Fruit Market and the Kilimanjaro Safari, which the Harambe Fruit Market is just a, we'll get to it, but it's just a food thing. And then Kilimanjaro Safaris, of course, is the big ride at Animal Kingdom. It is like the ride itself is the size of the Magic Kingdom.
Yes, it is huge. It's 110 massive. Acres wide.
Which is just, that's just insanity.
And so, just for perspective, Magic Kingdom is 107 acres.
Right, so it fits inside, which is just crazy. So from that point, then you follow the path down the center. So then we kind of went around a little kind of island of buildings and stuff. Now we're cutting back down the center, back toward the bridge to Discover Island.
Oh, you forgot the Gorilla Fall Exploration Trail. That's up there, too.
Didn't I already say that?
No, you forgot the gorillas.
Hold up. I feel like I did say this. Let me just double check. Yeah, Gorilla Falls Exploration Trail. That's right next to Rafiki's Planet Watch. I had it up there.
Not quite, because wherever I end up going, it's from the outside of the safari. But anyways.
Oh, maybe there's that was where it, that where it was listed on the thing. Anyway. You know, so I was trying to use a map as reference. Maybe
go
I have to
and
recheck
explore
my map.
Yourself.
Just check it out. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, you'll take the path down the center. And then you will see Mombasa Marketplace, Kusafari Coffee Shop, and Dawa Bar. And that just kind of takes you right back to where you started, kind of the three different ways you can go from the bridge from Discover Island. So that is kind of the basic layout of Africa. It's fairly sizable in just terms of stuff going on.
Yes. So let's talk about the attractions a little bit here.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Let's start out with the show. Festival of the Lion King. That is a stage show, but it's kind of like a theater in the round circular show that is more acrobatic themed. Think almost Cirque du Soleil, but Disney owned. And it's not a retelling of The Lion King. It is just a, hey, we're celebrating Simba. Woo!
It's a Lion King fanfic. No, I mean, it's kind of. It's basically like, yeah, I mean, like you imagine, like you took a couple of characters from, you know, like, I don't know, they just kind of like used the world of The Lion King as a backdrop just for kind of like a stage show. Like it's just sort of, it's festival. Yeah, it's a concert kind of. But
it's about 30 minutes long in air conditioning. If you need a heat escape, it's a great place to do it.
Yeah.
You can get fast passes for it. Wouldn't waste them on there.
Why?
But that's me. And then let's go to the big guy.
Kilimanjaro
Safari. This is the quintessential attraction at Magic Kingdom, hands down. No qualms. It is a 20-minute on average driving tour.
Changes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the theme about it is that you are chasing poachers. And so occasionally your driver, who is actually driving a safari vehicle, it's not on a track at all. They, you know, will give you anecdotes and information about the animals, as well as keeping up the pretense of you guys are kind of chasing off these poachers.
Yep.
But they, because they're in live safari vehicles, if animals decide to get in the way, they have to stop because you can't run them over. And obviously, and it's led to some really interesting videos that you can find out there. Like literally yesterday, I saw a video of two rhinos going at each other right in the drive path. Were just, you know, fighting and raring to go, and their horns are getting ready and they're charging at each other. And I would totally, like, if I were that cast member, I'd be like, oh, what am I going to do with all these people on the truck?
Right.
I don't know. I can't go forward. I can't back up. I don't know what to do. and you just gotta sit it out.
Oh my god, that was so. We'll probably talk about this ride at some point on its own standalone thing. But another thing I would mention is, like you mentioned, like the fact that like this happens like somewhat frequently, where they'll have to stop because of something. There's little like radio transponder pucks in the ground that talk to a transponder on the trucks. And so they actually have it's kind of like a super localized GPS almost, where they're able to track. They actually use it for the same technology for the parades, but it lets them track where every single ride vehicle is in that whole area. Yep. Right. So it makes it easier. And so then like literally like another driver, because there's multiple routes, another driver could be rerouted just so they wouldn't hold up other people. So it's kind of got a lot of different ways to kind of protect those sorts of moments from backing too many people up, which is kind of an interesting concept.
Well, and they actually have a lot of really interesting tech in here. So some of the things are like the hidden barriers that they have. It feels like you are right next to the animals, but there'll be an intentionally imagineered, you know, protective layer that you can't see. Because like for a great example are the lions. Okay, you are so close to the quote-unquote Pride Rock area of the lions, where they're laying down, which I'll get to in a second, and you feel like you could like reach out and touch them, like they'd be able to jump out and hop onto the safari truck with you. But there are hidden like barriers in place and huge drop pits that you can't see because they've, you know, covered them up and made it seem like it's just part of the natural environment. That it feels like you're right in the middle of them.
Right. No, absolutely. Definitely.
And then, speaking of the Pride Rock area, they use a lot of hidden sort of enticements to keep the animals in the locations. So one of the things with Pride Rock is the reason why there's still a lion sitting out on top of there is because they keep that rock air conditioned.
Yep.
So that way, when it's a hot Florida day, they know that they'll be able to get cool there. They will chill out there. And it is prime viewing location for all of us who are visiting the park to be able to see a lion up close. They do the same thing with food, salt licks. They have them in strategic locations so that way it entices the animal closer to the safari vehicles and allows us to get those really good photos.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. There's so much to talk about. Like I could
keep going. I mean, like there's nocturnal safaris, so that way you're able to see the animals that are more nocturnal, be able to be engaged. So like the hyenas, the lions, those guys.
That was something that they added later, because like they had it early and then they got rid of it for a long time. They kind of brought it back now that they had like they up until recently had the nighttime show. Another interesting point is that the rough ground, that the rough path that you drive along is actually like a specially finished concrete.
Yeah.
It's like not even like actually dirt.
No.
It's so weird.
While it was setting, they had some trucks drive through it and threw some sticks on it. That way it had the imprint on there.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Like, okay, another lion fact, because I think it's hilarious. there's the male lion called Dakari, and he loves Italian seasoning on his food. Little did you know. He was an Italian lion. I mean, we just want our pastas and we just want our sauces and it's delicious. There's also a hidden Mickey in the Greater Flamingo Islands. So if you are looking at the Flamingo Islands, you'll see, you know, a hidden Mickey in the rocks that are put around there. And since flamingos are one of my favorites, I'm very particular about that one. And all the plants are edible too. Every single plant that you see on the safari is edible. Might not taste good, but it's edible.
No, but it makes sense though to do it that way, just to make it easier for everything to be like, oh, make sure they don't go over to this one.
Yep.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Mm-hmm. Huh. Well, there you go.
I mean, there's so much more, but we'll end up doing our own, you know, separate episode about this, just like when we get back into the attractions episodes again.
Standalones. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. So definitely. There's a lot to cover there. Yeah. Absolutely. So, yeah. And then from there, we will move on to the Gorilla Falls Exploration Trail. Which, I mean, it's we kind of talked about the Maharaja Jungle Trek. It's a similar kind of situation. I think the last time I was at Disney, I didn't actually get to do it because it was like just later in the day and they were closing it. Because they do close the trails. They do occasionally close them earlier. I think they close sometimes an hour or two before the park does. So just something to be aware of.
Yeah. That's one that I haven't been able to get onto, but I know that when you exit the safari, you're part of the way into the trail, so there's like one little area of monkeys that I'm able to see, but I've never actually taken the trail yet, so that's
right.
One that we were anticipating on doing before,
then didn't get to do.
COVID
COVID because it was I remember now, it's the way in is kind of on the other side, but once you come back through the other way, you kind of merge with the safari exit queue.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting. Yeah. Very cool. We already talked about Rafiki's Planet Watch.
A bit.
So we'll move on past that. And then that's basically all the attractions. And also, we always like, because we're these people, we like to talk about like previous and old things that are not there or whatever. This is kind of crazy, but every opening day attraction in Africa is still actually running pretty much unmodified, which I was kind of shocked by.
That is, I mean, you would expect to have one or two things that have been edited, adjusted, rearranged, and
and to be fair, like Kilimanjaro Safari, just at scale, there's been some changes, but like nothing that's dramatic. No like retheming, no full reskinning, just like maybe a couple of swaps of animals and maybe some timing changes, but that's it. Like there's not a lot of differences that they've been making. So it's kind of an interesting, unique situation with Disney where in like, you know, like the 20 years or so that this park has been open, like there's been no changes, which is kind of amazing.
Yeah. So getting into dining, really, I mean, there's lots of little one-off stands, not as much alcohol as there was in Asia. Like I said, Tamu Tamu, I remember because they do the rum Dole Whip float.
Yes. Yes.
Which is exciting. But there are other ones that do, like the Dawa Bar, I know has regular cocktails, but they also have African beer, which is a place that I really enjoy because you want to try things that are different.
Yes.
And then, you know, it's Snackies here, quick service there. And then the other one is Tusker House, which I know that you were at last time you went to go visit.
Yeah, so I didn't know that according to the official 2020 information from Disney, it's Donald Duck's dining safari at Tusker House, which is ridiculous to me. Anyway, so we're calling it Tusker House. That is a mouthful. It's character dining, and it's a character dining buffet, but the food is Pan-African. And also, I will say they were pretty much saying that I had full access to the buffet.
Like very really? Like, and I have, like, for your dietary restrictions?
Mm-hmm. Like I think basically everything except for one little section was pretty much fair game, which was shocking to
me. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, obviously they always say like all buffets, like they can't guarantee anything. That's kind of Disney's policy. But basically she's like, honestly, like there's nothing in here that's going to be like explicitly contaminated. I'm like, that's shocking to me.
Well,
obviously every person has their own, because they send somebody out to you. So like, just know that they're going to send somebody out to you and it's going to be different for each person. So definitely have that conversation with anybody before, like don't use my words on it, even though you may have a peanut or soy allergy. But for me, it ended up being pretty much I could have a lot of the stuff.
Well, I mean, peanuts are not native to the African continent. Mm-mm. And so it makes sense that would not really be that present in the food. And then, I mean, you have some other dietary restrictions as well. But again, a lot of the African diet.
Yeah.
if they're sticking to cultural accuracy, would not be prevalent. So it makes sense. It was not, but it's still shocking. Yeah. Still
it was
shocking.
it was kind of surprising for sure. So but that exciting. Was cool. Exciting. Yeah, it was neat. And it was themed really well, obviously. The middle felt like an open air market sort of thing. Like it felt very like you were kind of in the middle of a bunch of buildings instead of being in a building, mm-hmm. even though it was inside. And that's where all the food was. And they had, just classic, really well done Pan-African buffet. Mm-hmm. And then there'd be kind of wings that would go off in kind of dining areas off of this central kind of area, which was nice for a buffet. Like usually you'd always feel like the buffets are sort of awkward to get to and stuff. This was cool. It was just kind of central, you know?
Yeah.
And you also, other fun thing that I found interesting about this is, a lot of times you walk into the restaurant, obviously, this is post-COVID now, it's going to be different for everything, but at the time,
who knows?
You would actually not be able to go in to the restaurant until somebody, you kind of checked in outside and somebody would pull you in, which I thought was an interesting thing. So there was really no waiting area inside. It was just all kind of just guests.
But in that overhang that used to have the fast pass kiosks, right?
Yes. Yes. Okay. So yeah, it's kind of like a covered area that they kind of check you in with, and then they send you in. And it has a very interesting vibe in there for sure. I'm trying to think of anything else that's cool. And then
and all the characters are in their safari gear.
In their safari gear.
But you're talking about Fab Five, right?
I think a lot of the Fab Five. I don't think it's all the Fab Five.
So it'd be
no, it might have been.
Yeah,
I remember seeing Donald, Mickey, Minnie.
Goofy.
Yeah, Donald, Mickey, Minnie, Goofy, and Daisy.
Okay, so no Pluto.
No Pluto. There was no Pluto.
That's my preferred Fab Five anyways, because I'm more of a Daisy girl versus a Pluto girl.
Yeah, so that was what we had. Daisy was awesome. Like they had it was a great group. Like the dining situation there, it was fun, you know.
Good.
My mom's always been a fan of Goofy, I think, so that was kind of cool. Like, so we had, it's cool. It was fun. We had a good time. We had two pass throughs for most of everybody, which is kind of cool. So I think everyone
really
came through twice.
Good rotations then. So you're not
the coverage. The coverage was good.
For
they
one.
They did. Yeah, they were pretty good about not. They were pretty good about not, I'm trying to remember, not like sending them through to you again right away. If somebody else had sat down, they were doing a really good job of kind of, making it work, like sending everyone to the right spots.
Yeah.
But it was really cute. There was a little baby who was just infatuated with Mickey. It was just so cute. Even the attendants, the character attendants, mm-hmm. were having a hard time kind of keeping composure.
It was so kind of sweet.
It was really cute. Yeah, it was pretty funny. So it was a nice experience overall, and it was nice to be. It's always fun to dine in the parks in those situations because there's just a lot going on, and it was neat just to kind of be in the middle of the African area and just do all of that. So. Yeah. That was pretty cool. I would recommend it for sure. If you're okay with exploring and learning about, different cuisines and
depending on what COVID does to us, right?
The other really neat thing about that is, you were talking about how one of the bars had African beer. Mm-hmm. You can also get African beer in Tusker House.
Oh, nice. That makes sense.
Yeah, it was one page of domestic and then another page of African beer. So I did do that, which was kind of cool. It was very kind of a lager or an ale. Like it was very light and refreshing. It was good.
My friends who are from Africa, they've talked with me about, when we are able to go back over there. They're like, I'm going to bring you to all these beer places. And I was like, perfect. I'm German. I love this.
Right. It's like we have a common language here. I see. Yeah.
Yes. Beer.
No, absolutely.
But that's also because a lot of Germans settled in Africa. So it makes sense. That is moving away from the land, though. So let's get back into shopping.
Shopping. So, and one more thing everyone needs to know about. I always want to talk about the coffee shop because I feel like that's important for everyone. Mm-hmm. So Kusafiri is the coffee shop and bakery, and they actually do breakfast and snacks.
They actually have breakfast.
Yeah, there's one other one that I saw. I wrote it down, but anyway, it doesn't matter. But that was they're the big one. So if you need coffee in Africa, that's kind of the spot. So just fun fact.
Yeah.
Moving on. Sorry, continue.
So shopping, there's only, okay, so there's two locations. One of them is the African inspired stuff, which is the Mabasa marketplace. And so that yep. has the, you know, African inspired, African themed souvenirs. Yeah. And then mm-hmm. the other one is Zuri's Sweet Shop, which is the, I will say, the stereotypical candy shop that you're going to find in a theme park. The only yep. exception to this is that they will make chocolates themed to animal poops. So there are a variety of different chocolate treats that are inspired by different but it, you know, so this one's a little bit peanutty, so it must be elephant, right?
right. Oh,
so funny. if you're wanting something that's a little bit more unique and silly, and just it's silly. Yeah. But you can go there. They also do have some like African inspired home items. But for the most part, I go for the chocolate poop.
Yeah, that makes more sense to me anyway. That's pretty funny.
To wrap this up, let's just get with some other. I did want to do some general Animal Kingdom facts before we get to the final land, which is completely out of the realm of reality.
This is true.
So Animal Kingdom theme park is actually an accredited animal facility, which when they weren't anticipating that they didn't want to be known as a zoo. They didn't want to be known as an aquarium. Right. They wanted to be a theme park. They are a theme park, but they still received accreditations from the Association of Zoos and Aquarium and the World's Association of Zoos and Aquariums for their work with animals within the theme park. Their treatment, their, you know, conservation efforts, all of this, like Disney sponsored the first white rhino born in Uganda in 25 years, or the Disney Conservation Fund partnered with the Cheetah Conservation Fund for Dogs Saving Cats Project, which had to do with the big mouthful, but basically it was they helped encourage African farmers to raise dogs to protect their animal flocks, their cows and that sort of thing from cheetahs, so that way they don't have to shoot and kill cheetahs.
The dogs would just scare them off.
Exactly. So Disney's been really active in the conservation and animal programs that are happening throughout the world. And this is a great place to just spotlight that. Another silly thing is if you actually look at the park shape of Animal Kingdom, it's set up to look like Africa if you are up from a plane, which I mean, again, this is a no-fly zone, so you're not going to really see that too often, but the intent is kind of cute how it is, you know, Africa shaped for a park. And also the last fun fact is this is the only theme park that has doors on the entrances of the bathrooms.
Is there a reason for that?
Yes, it is just in case the animals escape, so you can go hide in a potty.
Hide in the bathroom.
And they can't get in. So every other theme park, you're going to basically see, you know, a hallway open, you walk around and then you get into the stalls and stuff. This is the first one that you actually have to open a door to get into and shut a door.
Funny.
But it's the intent you know, if an animal escapes...
Yeah,
you can hide kind of like a tornado. You can hide in the bathrooms.
Yeah. Oh my god.
And be safe.
In case a Sharknado happens, you're good to go.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and just to kind of piggybacking on your thing with the accreditation from the Zoo and Aquarium Association.
Go back to the smart stuff instead of the potty stuff.
No. just as fun. We're actually the Minnesota Zoo here is accredited the same way, and they've actually had animal trades between, like, we've actually like sent animals to Animal Kingdom and vice versa. So that's actually happened before. I can't remember what we've traded, but it's like they've actually been a resource for us and vice versa for animal stuff. So it's they're a player in that space, especially in the US, but even globally. So
awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, yeah.
That is our Africa coverage of the Animal Kingdom walkthrough discovering series. This has been WD Carousel of Podcast. My name's Crystal.
And I'm Ian.
And we hope you have a great, big, beautiful tomorrow. Bye, everybody.